Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful here at your service. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblasingame.com or jbsba.com. JBSBA is the acronym with a .com on the end there. It'll get you to my website, and where you can subscribe to my free newsletter, when you can check out lots of other things like the archives and the articles and some new stuff. I promise very soon, we're getting close. This stuff takes time, folks, but I think you're going to like what we've got coming out for you. Richard DeKayser is all over our website. Archives, articles, we got so much of his stuff on our website. We want to make sure that if you want to get some really good stuff on the economy, and that you have it. And he's one of our great contributors. He's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist for National City Bank Corp. And he's our good friend. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And as you know, and as my audience knows, now that I told them earlier in the hour, if they didn't already, the Fed is having one of their two-day meetings this week. And today is the last day that they're meeting. And so that's the reason we're having our Fed Watch show. That's what you and I are doing right now. And what I want you to do, if you will, as you do so well, and that is give us a little two or three minute tour of the economy and sort of give us an idea about what you think the 19 people, if everybody shows up, that are sitting around that table at the Federal Open Market Committee, when they decide what to do about rates today, give us an idea about what you think they're going to be seeing.
Sure. I have to issue a very small correction. That is, the Fed is meeting for a two-day period, but today is the first of that two-day period.
Oh, okay.
They have done something. This is totally out of character.
This is different, isn't it?
This is very different. It's Wednesday and Thursday. It's usually Tuesday and Wednesday.
They've never done that before that I know of.
I don't think they have. But that aside, they will be meeting this afternoon, tomorrow morning, and they'll be giving us word tomorrow as to what they might be doing with interest rates. But first, the tour of the economy. The economy is doing reasonably well. First quarter GDP growth was reported as up in real terms, that is inflation adjusted, 3.5%. This morning they're going to revise that, probably bumping it up a little higher, a little closer to 4%. Second quarter, of course, where we now reside, just barely. Looks like it's going to be pretty much about the same. We've got consumers that are doing a decent job. They're spending because employment gains have been stronger, and there's been a tremendous run-up in wealth over the past couple of years. And I'll come back to that in a second. But they're certainly not the driving force of the economy. The driving force of the economy today is elsewhere. It is investment activity, in particular business spending on things like capital goods, equipment, machinery, information technology, but also the housing market and construction more generally. We've got the non-residential chunk coming back nicely after a four-year sabbatical, and the housing market is just booming.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to the other part of your question is, what are they talking about? Well, a lot of things, but I think that the majority of their time is going to be committed to this question, on the economy is going to be committed to this question of what's going on in the housing market. Is there a bubble? What can be done to, if anything, to restrain those kinds of excesses?
And, is there a bubble? Do you think there's a bubble?
If you're going to give me, if I have to give you the one word answer, it's no. But I think that a one word answer really doesn't do justice.
If I allow you to partition it,
if you allow me to, if you will, and this is a 30 minute program, so I'll take a minute. I call them bubblets. There are markets within the U.S. which are, in my view, clearly extremely overvalued to such a degree as to represent a very significant risk of future price corrections, but the cumulative sum of all those markets, and they reside in places like California, Southern Florida, Washington, D.C., you add them all together and you get about 20 to 25% of the total U.S. housing market. So it's not uniform. There are markets which today even still are undervalued. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the housing market is not egregiously overvalued. But we do have a chunk, and the question is, a year ago, will it spread? A year ago, it was less pervasive than it is today, and potentially a year from now, it could be more pervasive than it is today.
Well, the real estate bubble that I see is residential. I'm sure you do, too. It's residential, and therefore, it's not going to take any corporations down necessarily. The D.C. bubble is propped up by the artificial economy of the government. So even if it does collapse a little bit, it's not going to collapse all the way down. Some of the others, I agree with you. I don't think it's that big a deal. But apparently, there's a lot of hand wringing about this. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Richard DeKayser about the gasoline issue and its impact on inflation. If gasoline's so high, why isn't inflation higher? We're going to talk about that and other things after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Richard DeKayser, Chief Economist with National City Bank. Richard, we're talking about the economy and what we think the Fed's going to see in their crystal ball. And gasoline, petroleum, crude oil, I guess maybe I should go all the way back to that, hit $60 a barrel this week, over $60 a barrel. It actually needs to go to 90 to, in inflation-adjusted dollars, to be as high as it was 25 years ago, if my memory serves. And so we're still, a third off of that number, but it's still pretty high. And it seems that gasoline prices averaging $2.26 a gallon across the country is cutting into the economy's vigor a little bit.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you, if you didn't know better, you'd think, I actually predicted worse than what we've got right now a while back, because petroleum in all of its forms is the oxygen of the marketplace, isn't it?
It is, and if you predicted it going this high, you certainly beat my forecast.
No, I didn't predict that it would go this high, but I predicted it would have a worse impact on the economy.
What I actually
predicted was that it would be above 40 for sure,
right,
for the rest of the year. But the thing is, my point is that, and then I learned something this year that I didn't really understand. I know we're more dependent upon foreign oil as a percentage of the oil we use than in the past. But here's another figure that I know that you know, Richard, and that is that petroleum is a smaller percentage of our GDP than it used to be. So we're less dependent on it in terms of our output than we used to be.
Right.
And so is that the reason why inflation is not any worse than it is?
There's a few reasons why the oil impact hasn't been as bad as we've thought in the past. Number one, you put your finger on it. We are about half as energy intensive today as we were a quarter century ago. And this is principally by virtue of more efficient appliances, homes, and so forth. Secondly, it seems like consumers have responded to this run-up in oil prices over the past year with some degree of disbelief. And what I mean by that is that we've observed a decline in the savings rate, which is something that often happens when consumers think they're being hit by something temporary. In other words, rather than alter their lifestyle, they'll continue to consume as much, but perhaps forego some savings, at least for a while. So that's cushioned a bit of the blow on consumers. But the reason it hasn't had the big feed through to inflation, and it has showed up, but it hasn't seemed to seep through to other areas of the economy, is principally because of this thing called Fed credibility. And that is to say that there is a great deal of confidence that the Federal Reserve will not let high inflation stick. Whether that's true or not remains to be seen, but that there is that belief. So as firms are considering their pricing decisions, they're much more skeptical that they'll be able to raise prices and have them stick, that is, without losing market share. And the Federal Reserve, and coming back to our topic, is committed to maintaining that credibility. So they want to, as opposed to the 1970s, where they were, quote, accommodative, that is, when energy prices shot up, they didn't want it to hurt the economy, so they let it rip a little bit, which in turn became a self-reinforcing cycle.
Right.
Today, their reputation is such that they will not let that happen, and so people are probably being a little bit more cautious about trying to seize price increases, and consumers, for their part, are not demanding as aggressively higher wages, again, because everyone's grown more comfortable.
But is that a inflation. False sense of, is that a false yeah. sense of security?
I don't think so in the end. I think that's correct. I think the Fed has learned its lesson well. They're not going to repeat the mistakes of the past. and they'll do whatever is necessary to keep inflation from cropping up once again.
But that whatever is necessary is right. What's hurting small businesses right now. In the business that you're in, the banking business, small businesses are getting double hammered right now with higher interest rates on the money that we have to borrow, that we must borrow to stay in business for our working capital, and the gasoline prices that we must pay.
I totally agree.
For our vehicles. I mean, right now, you know, we went a couple of years there where I basically, gave the Fed a pass, but I'm starting to get on their case again. And, you know, they need to realize, you know, David Malpass, your peer over at Bear Stearns, had an article in the Wall Street Journal this week, and two different places he mentioned the significance of small business in this recovery, in this expansion, as he called it. Mm-hmm. And I know you appreciate what small business means to this economy. It's real, and so, you know, we've got to start doing some things that doesn't hurt small business.
Well, I think your analysis is perfectly accurate, but let me just add another item, which is that the Federal Reserve has two jobs, that is to maintain full employment, number one, and number two, to maintain price stability. Now, when you're going through the rough patch, such as we've been through for the past 5 years, starting really in 2000 until, say, 2 years ago, the economy was relatively soft, unemployment was relatively high, so their number one focus was on job number one, which was attaining full employment. Mm-hmm. So we've spent most of our preoccupation with respect to the Federal Reserve, its policy actions, and its impact on the economy around this topic of will they get this economy in its full operating potential? But now they have to switch, or they're going to shift emphasis, or not going from one to the other, but shifting their emphasis, to the other mandate, which is maintaining price stability. Because, and here's the trade-off, in the long run, the economy does operate best in an environment of price stability, even though in the short run, and that's what we're looking at right now, it has its consequences, which can be painful. So in my view, you're absolutely right. The higher energy prices and the higher interest rates are taking a hit on especially the small business economy. But the belief at the Fed, which I concur in, is that if they let that slide in the near term, the consequences in the future will be even worse.
Well, and I hear you, but for the moment, it's cold comfort, Richard.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Richard DeCasey. When we come back, I'm going to ask Richard, what do you think the Fed's going to do today? Are they going to whack us again with another rate increase? And I'm going to ask him if he thinks there are any global concerns out there that you and I need to be worried about. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Richard DeCaser is our guest, senior vice president and chief economist at National City Bank Corp. Richard, give us your website, please.
www.nationalcity.com. And if you append at the end of that, /economics, you'll get my personal website where we have economic commentary and analysis.
That's where they can find your monthly letter?
That's right. That's right. And sign up for email distribution.
Which is
like.
The Financial Market Outlook by Richard DeCaser. And I encourage you to check that out, folks. And you can see what Richard has to say every month about the issues that we're talking about right now. And how many branches you guys have across the Midwest?
We have 1,200 branches going from Pennsylvania to Michigan to Illinois. And then from down to the south in Kentucky and Missouri.
And you guys are a pretty major SBA lender, aren't you?
We're the major lender. We are the number one major SBA lender in that overall market area,
yeah.
And also number one position in at least half the seven states we occupy.
Right, right. That means they get it, folks.
Yeah, this is a big
small business,
and it always has been.
Yeah, Richard. And by the way, thank you for what you guys do for small business. Okay, let's get this out of the way. What do you think the Fed's going to do today? Are they going to raise rates, or tomorrow, I should say? Are they going to raise rates or not?
Yeah, they are. Quarter point, no surprise there. They've been talking to us about this for some time. They use the word measured. This is the code that means 25 quarter percentage point. And, they've been very consistent. Various Fed governors, presidents have been speaking over the past several weeks. They say monetary policy is still accommodative. That means interest rates too low and rates are likely to increase.
You got to pay attention to these code words, folks.
Well, you know, you pick up you get a nap from over.
Yeah, when they say accommodative, you get duck. But, alas, Richard, I'm afraid I have to agree with you, and more's the pity. And So what's that going to put the Fed funds rate at?
Put the Fed funds rate at 3.25%. Prime at 6.25%.
Right. Which means, folks, and see, here's what you got to do. And you've heard me say this before, Richard. As you know, small business doesn't live in the world of prime. Prime means nothing to us except as a floor upon which to add interest rates. We live in the world of prime plus. So
right.
That means if the prime rate goes to 6.25%, which is going to do this week by Friday, it'll be at 6.25%. That means that small business owners borrow money at 7.25%, 8.25%, 9.25%, and the dreaded 10.25%. Now, Richard, for small businesses who have got a they don't have a long track record. Their credit and everything else isn't sterling. They've got some, you know, they're in a growth mode. They've got a great idea, but not a lot of history. They're paying 9-10% interest rates on their money.
Right.
And now we're getting into the level that becomes prohibitive for success.
Well, I hear you. Let me just, because there's something very unusual going on today, which I think presents somewhat of an opportunity.
Pardon me, Richard. Let me just stick one more thing in. And yep. Don't forget, we still have to pay 2.25% for gas. Now go ahead.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I just wanted to get this in because I think there is an unusual thing going on today that may present an opportunity for some of your listeners. It's been referred to as the interest rate conundrum. And in short, what that reflects is that people
right.
expect in short-term interest rates to rise, but long-term interest rates are still pretty low, quite low. So for those who are able and they want to try and lock in low, longer-term interest rates, there are many opportunities to do that, to swap some of their short-term debt into longer-term debt, to try and insulate themselves from the interest rate increases.
But that can only be acquired on long-term assets like real estate, right?
No, not always. But yes, you're right. Mostly that's got to be collateralized. But
see, most of our debt is short-term debt.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not saying the bulk of it is, because a lot of times the big number is the real estate. But the money that we need day after day that we can't fix in, that we can't fix.
I know, inventories and the like.
Exactly. Yeah. Receivables and developing a website and things like that.
I didn't say it would apply to all
yeah.
your listeners.
I hear you. No. Listen, I appreciate your attempt to make that suggestion. That's a good one. And by the way, folks, the conundrum thing is what you wrote about this in this month's newsletter, wasn't it?
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Everyone's been struggling with this. No one has a completely satisfactory answer. But the simple reality is that long-term interest rates seem very strangely low for an environment where short-term interest rates have been and are expected to continue rising. So the conundrum is, why are long-term rates so low? And I won't get into all the various explanations, but the general takeaway, I think, should be is that anomalies generally don't last. When stocks are overvalued,
right.
You know, you look at these moments as with a little bit of a head scratch and say, how do I protect myself? Rather than, if I can't understand it completely, how do I hedge this risk? And
Richard, let me stop you for a second quickly. What do you think the economy is going to be at year end for the year? GDP.
Yeah, I think we're going to post a pretty good year on whole. I think
how
we're
much?
Going to see GDP growth for the year is going to be in the vicinity of 3.7%.
I like that number. Good
it's
for
a
you.
Good one.
I hope from your mouth to God's ears. Richard, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Always a pleasure.
Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, with National City Bank. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.